This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Across the Amagrib channels, welcome everyone to day number 18, Ramadan 360s, the story of revelation by Amagrib Institute. Alhamdulillah, we have an honorable guest with us today. Sister Sara Sultan, inshallah, is going to be doing today's session. Our topic is going to be When Gossip Hurts, and the focus is going to be on the Surah An-Nur, ayahs 11 to 26. So please make sure that you have those ready. We'll drop those in the chat as well, inshallah, as we start the session, so that you guys can keep up, inshallah. Also, just a side point, there is a full booklet with all of the verses that we're covering, the Arabic and the English, in your resource section on your student portal. So for, especially for those who are registered here for free at Ramadan360.org, when you go into your student portal, just go to resources. There's a booklet that has a summary of all the verses. If you want to look ahead to see which verses are going to be covered in the future, or if you just want to recap the ones that we've done in the past, of course, they're dropping them here in the chat and Telegram and everywhere, but that will be a nice little summary for you all, inshallah. And that booklet is going to be available for you even after Ramadan 360 ends, and the recordings are available for lifetime, inshallah ta'ala. I hope that you guys have been doing well. I do want to take a second, of course, to shout out the folks that make this experience for Ramadan 360 possible every year. Of course, we have our amazing charity partners. In the US, we have Helping Hands for Relief and Development. For Canada, we have Islamic Relief Canada. And then for the UK, we have Forgotten Women. You guys have been supporting them generously throughout this month. Please continue to do so, inshallah. Every opportunity that you get, especially as you're going into the last 10 nights, please make them as a consistent part of your donations, inshallah. And of course, Amagrib is also fundraising for our campaign at amagrib.org/donate to support the next 20 years of excellence that we've, alhamdulillah, been able to curate with Amagrib to support all the classes, some of the big initiatives, some of the challenges that we have with keeping up the operations of an institution of this size and continuing and growing across the globe, inshallah. So please do make sure that you're giving as much as you can to that cause as well. All of those are linked in your bio on social media, and they're dropped once or twice a day here in the chat as well. So make sure that you just open up the links when you have access to them, inshallah. Of course, we're going to have Dr. Mohanad Hakim back with us at the end of today's session for our Quran Reflect. So note the things that you guys want to reflect on, that you want to share from Sister Sara's talk. And inshallah, you'll get a chance to share your own thoughts and your own experiences. Sister Sara is actually a licensed professional counselor, and she's a licensed mental health counselor, mashallah. You probably benefited from her works from Yaqeen Institute. She's a contributor there. And mashallah, she's been a big part of the Amagrib family in recent years. She's been on a lot of our programs for Ramadan 360, for the Hijjah 360, a lot of our webinars in the past. And for those who caught it, she is, mashallah, an essential part of our mental health course, Inside Out, Outside In, that we launched during COVID when a lot of people are going through some really difficult mental health struggles. And she completely shines in that course. I'll drop a link here as well for those who did not get a chance to register. Thousands of people benefited from that course due to her work and her efforts. So I hope that you guys get a chance to really benefit during this talk. And with that being said, inshallah, I want to bring Sister Sara Sultan onto the screen and not take any more time away from her talk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Sister Sara, how are you doing today?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. I'm doing well, alhamdulillah. It's wonderful to be here.
Alhamdulillah, I'm really well. It's wonderful to have you. I saw you, mashallah, where you were in person with us as well during the Ilmfest this past January. I was so bummed to miss that. But inshallah, more to come as we completely come back post-COVID. How's your Ramadan been going so far?
Alhamdulillah, it's been really wonderful. I've been enjoying it, alhamdulillah. Yeah, alhamdulillah. As the kids get older, it's always a new experience, which is enjoyable, alhamdulillah.
So wait, how old are they now? And I guess what stage are they transitioning into in the masjid and stuff?
So my son is almost 10. He'll be 10 in a couple months, inshallah. And then my daughter is 8 and a half, mashallah. So we're able to go to the masjid and on non-school nights. And we're able to, you know, they enjoy waking up for sahur and, you know, mashallah, trying to fast and, you know, all of these different things, mashallah. And so it's exciting to see their love of Ramadan developing too. So it's been fun, alhamdulillah.
That sounds amazing, mashallah. How is this Ramadan feeling different for you from previous Ramadans? I know it's been like a few crazy years. So what is it that you're enjoying specifically this Ramadan?
You know, I think seeing, for me, this Ramadan is a little bit easier than past Ramadans have been, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. I think it just comes with different stages, different seasons in life. And so the fasting has, you know, has been easier, which is beneficial. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. But I think that just being able to slow down, I think the older that I get, I just realize, okay, you know, I can decide how I want to use my time in a way that's going to be most beneficial for me in terms of my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I need to be able to take a nap to be able to function and pray at night, then I can. Alhamdulillah. And before, I was very resistant to that. And yeah. So little things like that. And, you know, being able to say no to certain invitations, like, okay, hey, we're just going to relax and stay at home so we can get an early night and everything. So it's, as I get older, I realize the way that I engage in my time is a little bit different, which adds more value to Ramadan, alhamdulillah.
That's a great point. You know what, subhanAllah, I think it takes so many years to learn this, but when you become a little bit more forgiving of yourself and you prioritize your ibadah and you try not to do everything and be everything to everyone at all times, especially during Ramadan, completely different experience. Then you get to actually eke out the joy of that month and the blessings, alhamdulillah. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. Now, I know you have a really heavy topic to cover. I'm really excited to hear, inshallah, your talk, and then we'll come back at the end and we'll ask you some questions. But bismillah, sorry, I want to pass you the stage. Let's take away bismillah.
Jazakallah khair. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Amma ba'd, jazakallah khair again for having me on with all of you. I'm really excited to be here. Alhamdulillah. And I chose these particular verses because this was a very impactful incident in the seerah and in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so I'm going to be covering these amazing verses from Surah An-Nur. And my structure is going to be a little bit different than my typical structure when I do a talk. And what's going to be different is that I'm going to go verse by verse and do a deep dive into each verse that we're going to be covering, because there are so many gems and lessons that you can find in these amazing verses. And they talk about the harms of speaking ill of one another, ways to prevent ourselves from falling into that, but then also really helpful ways to think about these types of incidents when they happen to us personally. So if somebody speaks ill of you, how to manage that, how to manage that emotionally, Islamically, psychologically. And so it's really powerful. So I'm going to be covering from verse 11 to 26, but I'm actually going to even start with verse 10, inshallah. But I wanted to give you a little bit of background about the incident that this covers. This covers the incident of the ifk, it was called, which was the slandering of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. So there was a companion, I don't know terms, he wouldn't be termed a companion because he was the head of the hypocrites, the munafiqun in Medina, named Abdullah ibn Ubay. And he started a rumor by just a vague insinuation that there was some inappropriate conduct between Aisha radiallahu anha and a soldier. Now, you know, even this vague insinuation of anybody is harmful. But now imagine a vague insinuation about our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. So she was accidentally left behind when the caravan was returning from battle. And they thought that she was within her vestibule, right? Like this the top of the carriage that would be added on top of the camel. They thought that she was inside when they loaded it up, but she had been looking for a necklace that she was missing and she lost her way. So she got delayed. And then when she arrived, she found that the caravan had left. So she did whatever she needed to do. And she just waited and wrapped herself up and fell asleep at the campsite while waiting for the caravan to return once they realized that she had been left behind. But this companion, Safwan, found her and escorted her back to the caravan. So he found her sleeping there. He realized it was her. And he, with full modesty, escorted her back to the caravan so she could be reunited with the group. When he saw them together, Abdullah ibn Ubay started a rumor that set in motion a whole series of events that cast a shadow over the Muslim community for quite a while, for over a month. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat that proved Aisha radiallahu anha's innocence. And so during this incident, there were families that were torn apart because of the discrepancy in information and because of this gossip mongering that was happening. And so it shows the harm that can come even to the most righteous. And it shows the harm that we can fall into even when we are worshipers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the companions of the Rasulullah were not immune to falling prey to this gossip. Right, so we're going to start with verse 10 in Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before he delves into the admonishments, before he delves into the directives that he's giving to the Muslims and the warnings that he's giving to the Muslims, he starts with this verse. He says, "And if not for the favor of Allah upon you and his mercy, you would have suffered. And had Allah not been accepting of repentance and the all-wise." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the story before he delves into the story. He reminds us of his mercy and his wisdom and his acceptance of repentance, which is so incredibly powerful when you think about who the slander was against and when you think about the severity of the sin. And so as you listen to these ayat and this story unfold, and all of the gems and lessons within it, try to consider the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favors and mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that manifest through these verses. And that's what we're going to delve into, inshallah. So in verse 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Indeed, those who came up with that outrageous slander are a group of you. Do not think that this is bad for you. Rather, it is good for you. They will be punished each according to their share of the sin. And as for the mastermind," meaning Abdullah ibn Ubay, "he will suffer a tremendous punishment." So when you hear this verse, right, the first thing that might come to your mind is, if you're struggling in a situation like this, how can something so painful possibly be good for me? And even if you're struggling with anything else, it doesn't have to just be people speaking ill of you or thinking ill of you or anything like that. But any type of struggle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this beautiful reminder right at the start here that do not think that this is bad for you. Rather, it is good for you. So how can we find mercy within the hardship? This mental reframe is incredibly powerful whenever we're going through a struggle. And to remind ourselves that any test, any difficulty that we go through is a test. And the purpose of any test is to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if something causes you to return to Allah, to increase in du'a, to reconnect with the Quran, to increase in giving charity, right, to make amends with people, anything like that, then it is absolutely good for you, even if it doesn't feel good. Even if it's actually a very painful experience, how we deal with the experience and whether it makes us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala determines whether there's good in it for us. Right. And so in this particular situation, if somebody is speaking ill of you, then one of the good things that comes out of it is that you are protected from a further relationship with this person. Now that you've discovered what they're truly like, now that you've discovered their true colors, you are now protected from further harm because you're no longer going to entrust them with your vulnerabilities. You are also promised the expiation of sin, that there's going to be sins removed from you because of the pain that you're dealing with. And then also, if you can transform this into a gratitude, how? A gratitude that you are not the one perpetuating such a devastating sin. And when you know the punishment of the sin, definitely feeling grateful that, you know, even though I hate being the one talked about, even though this is incredibly painful, I am grateful that I'm not the one doing the talking, that I'm not the one spreading these rumors and this gossip and this backbiting, and I'm not engaging in the sin, alhamdulillah. There was actually a man who told Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, that, hey, someone is backbiting about you. And so his response, I think, was so beautiful, where he then proceeded to send a dish of sweet dates to the person who was backbiting against him. And he said to this person, "I heard that you've given me your good deeds as a gift, so I want to repay you for it, but please excuse me because I'm unable to fully repay you." SubhanAllah, look at that attitude. And it's also quite a burn, right? Like when you think about it, you know, the fact that he's, you know, thanking him for his good deeds, because he's keeping the big picture in mind. He's keeping the akhirah in mind in terms of what is going to be best for me then, And if this person is backbiting against me now, I might not enjoy it now, but I will be the one enjoying later. And so that's a beautiful, also a psychological reframe that's very powerful. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if only the believing men and women had thought well of themselves when they heard this rumor and said that this is clearly an outrageous slander. So here, there are several action items to take into account. What do we do when we hear someone talking ill of someone else? What do we do in a gathering like that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so first, you take note of here, what should be done when somebody's saying something negative? That it's not about the people who spread the rumors, this particular ayah, but it's about the people who didn't think well of Aisha radiallahu anha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiates between those two groups of people. Because there's a difference between just thinking to yourself, oh, I can't believe that, you know, this person, you know, this person did such and such thing and everything, and you think ill of them in your heart, versus thinking ill of them and then spreading it, right? That's a two-step process. But this verse shows the importance of not just not spreading the rumors, but also of having the best thoughts of one another, that is what true brothers and sisters do in Islam, is to have the best thoughts of one another. And so in terms of action items, look at this, look at the beauty of this verse and the phrasing of it, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if only the believing men and women had thought well of themselves, لِأَنفُسِهِمْ, right? بِأَنفُسِهِمْ, that if only they had thought well of themselves, not one another, themselves. That allowing for backbiting and the speaking and thinking ill of others to be the norm creates deterioration in a society, and it chips away at human decency, so that things become cutthroat rather than supportive of one another. This sense of community is so essential, right? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that a servant does not cover the faults of another servant in this world, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers his faults on the day of judgment. So covering the faults of one another creates this sense of brotherhood and sisterhood that is so important in creating a solid foundation for our community. And so this is the directive that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. And what I think is so powerful about Allah saying that, why did they not think well of themselves? When somebody thinks ill of someone else, it is truly a reflection of them more than it's a reflection of the other person. So when somebody thinks ill of you or says negative things about you, it has much more to do with what's happening inside of them than it has to do with you. And this verse is such a beautiful illustration of that, that they're not thinking well of themselves. And this is why they can think ill of somebody as amazing as Aisha radiallahu anha. That this is a disease within themselves and shortcomings within themselves, right? If you are struggling with something, it's much easier to believe that same thing of someone else, right? So action-wise, what do? We take control of what we can and we let go of what we can't. If you are doing your best by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are doing your best in your relationships with people and to be good to one another, then another person's opinion of you and their perspective of you is much more of a reflection of them than it is of you. So don't pay too much attention to the things that they're doing or saying. In the following verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us more action items where he says, why did they not produce four witnesses? Now, since they failed to produce witnesses, they are truly liars in the sight of Allah. So another action items, when we hear something negative about someone else, asking myself, can I simply believe this negative thing to be true? Or is there a protocol? When somebody spreads something, who these days produces four witnesses? Oftentimes what is spread is actually something that another person didn't even directly see themselves, right? They just heard it from somewhere. There was some sort of insinuation, right? They didn't even see it themselves. And so they, to believe something like that, without four witnesses, like how many times do we even think about, oh, you know, can I produce four witnesses to corroborate this? Nobody thinks that way. And it shows how important it is to find the truth rather than to just spread what we hear. And so to believe something and to spread it as fact without sufficient evidence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it's a lie. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala labels people here as liars. And that's terrifying. How often do we just engage in gossip and backbiting and even slander with absolute lies about people, not even thinking about it? And in the meantime, we are at risk of being written as liars. That to me is terrifying. This verse I found to be very powerful when I read it. And it reminded me of a hadith of Rasulullah where he said that truth leads one to paradise and virtue leads one to paradise. And the person tells the truth until he is recorded as truthful amongst the truthful. And the person, a lie leads to obscenity, and obscenity leads to the hellfire. And what's more obscene, right, than spreading lies about our brothers and sisters? And then the person tells lies until he's recorded as a liar. Right? So the way that we live our lives and what we do consistently, that is what dictates how we're going to be labeled. And we all, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be from amongst those who are labeled as the truthful, who are recorded as the truthful in the hereafter. And so truth-telling in this context, when people are sharing negative things about others, what does truth-telling involve? It involves sharing the good. Right? If you're in a gathering where people are speaking ill of someone, counteract it with the good. Try and stop it. Right? Taking no joy in hearing ill about other people, hearing about their struggles, taking no joy in that. Keeping silent when we can't say good. Defending our brothers and sisters and protecting them. And keeping them safe from our tongues. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, whose Islam is best? And he responded, those from whose tongue and hand people are safe. So asking ourselves, are people safe from my tongue? Are people safe in confiding in me, knowing that it won't go past us? Are people safe that if this person sees me doing something that looks a little bit iffy, that they'll give me the benefit of the doubt? Are our brothers and sisters safe from us and from our tongues? That's the action item and the question to ask ourselves. In the next verse, after these admonishments, look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. After all of this, these strict admonishments and the threat of being labeled as liars, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, had it not been for Allah's grace and mercy upon you in this world and the hereafter, you would have certainly been touched with a tremendous punishment for what you plunged into. So here is again another reminder of Allah's mercy amidst his admonishments. It's like if any of you have children, and obviously the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest and beyond comparison, but if any of you are parents of children, when they make a mistake, when they do something they're not supposed to do, how do we talk to them about it, right? We go and we tell them, look, this wasn't right. I know you. I know the goodness inside of you. And I am correcting you because I want good for you, because I love you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us more than we can imagine. And he wants good for us and helping us to stay away from this sin, from hurting our brothers and sisters in a way that would destroy our lives here and in the akhirah. This is a gift and a mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. And so through his love, he's giving us these directions which are meant for our good in this life and the next, inshallah. And so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and he says, when you received it with your tongue and said with your mouths what you had no knowledge of, taking it lightly while it is something extremely serious in the sight of Allah. I love the phrasing of this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you received it with your tongue. It's very easy to say what you hear, especially in this day and age where there's so much misinformation everywhere. But what happens instead of receiving something with our tongues, we receive it with our hearts. We receive it with our minds. What a difference that would yield, right? Thinking to yourself, what does this say about me if I immediately believe this to be true? What happens to my dunya and akhirah if I receive this with my tongue and immediately spread it? We live in a culture and society where it's so easy to talk about others, right? Like even when you're, when you see celebrity tabloids, for example, or shows, or any type of news, so much of it, so much of the commentary about other people's lives, their outfits, their indiscretions, their mistakes, all of these things, it becomes fodder for everyone. We're at liberty to discuss everybody's lives as if it's not painful, as if it's nothing. And the internet has really perpetuated that. There are so many teenagers and adults as well, but especially children and teenagers who have attempted and committed suicide because of suffering from this, where one mistake is spread so far that they can never escape it. I remember a client that I had who attempted suicide 3 times, because no matter what school she went to, the internet rumors would follow her until she was ostracized from every friend group because of one mistake that she made, one indiscretion, right? And so now, and that was an actual indiscretion that she committed, but does she deserve to be harmed in such a way? Absolutely not. So now imagine when somebody doesn't commit an indiscretion like that, like Aisha radiallahu anha. And like these rumors, especially of a sexual nature, are especially harmful, but they're so normalized. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that we shouldn't take this lightly, that it's serious to Him and His is the standard that we should follow, not what's normalized in society. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an action item in the next verse where He says, if only you had said upon hearing it, how can we speak about such a thing? Glory be to you, O Allah. This is a heinous slander. And so this verse tells us how to receive it with our hearts and our minds rather than receiving this gossip with our tongues. And so with our minds, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, immediately doubt it instead of immediately embrace it. The default should be that you say, no, this is not true. And that's how we embrace it, that's how we receive it with our minds. And now to receive it with our hearts, to think, what would you want someone to do? What would you want someone to say? What would you want someone to think if this was being shared about you? How would you want somebody to interpret this if this was being shared about you? We always want people to give us the benefit of the doubt, but do we do the same for others? And a beautiful action item we see in this verse is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to say, Subhanak, glory be to you, O Allah. And why is this important? Is because when we hear gossip, we have the choice to fall into dunya mode, right? Which is, oh, it's enjoyable to talk about other people, right? Like this is something that human beings from the beginning of time have struggled with. Or we have the opportunity to fall into akhirah mode, hereafter mode, where we remind ourselves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we're mindful of Him, then our choices change. So when we say Subhanak, Subhanallah, right? Glory be to Allah, admiring His perfection and reminding ourselves of Allah when we're trying to change our status quo, that mindfulness is very, very powerful in making the right choice. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Allah forbids you from ever doing something like this again if you're true believers. And I love this verse because it shows that even if something is this severe, the door to Allah is never closed. You can always be a true believer. You can always make a change, even after. So if you're hearing this, you know, these ayahs, and you're thinking, man, like I really struggle with this. I really talk about people a lot. And catch yourself, right? You also might be thinking, you know, this is not really a personal struggle of mine, but all of us fall into this. Like this is something so common. But if you're feeling like, how am I ever going to get out of this, the punishment is so severe, realize that you can always make a change. So even after people spoke badly about one of the women of Jannah, one of the mothers of the believers, one of the most righteous people in our history, they can still be true believers, but change is necessary. Action is necessary. So never underestimate your ability to change or the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how. In the next verse, He says, and Allah makes His commandments clear to you, for Allah is all-knowing and all-wise. So now you know, like the commandments are clear. this is not okay to do. This is a very severe thing. Even if people minimize it, this is actually a huge sin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it's clear. And now once you know your mistake, you can fix it. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that He is all-knowing, all-wise, that He's watching us. He knows what we do, and He knows when we try to make a change. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the clarity and the ability to make the choices that are most pleasing to Him. Ameen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a different category of people. Not the people who are willing to make this change, but instead He says, indeed, those who love to see indecency spread among the believers will suffer a painful punishment in this life and in the hereafter. And Allah knows, and you do not know. We all in our lives have encountered this person, the person who loves the drama, the person who loves, like, every time they come in to a gathering, you won't believe it. You won't believe what happened. You won't believe what I heard. You won't believe what I saw, right? And a lot of times people are naturally drawn to those people because they bring excitement with them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about people who love to see division amongst the community, people who love to see sin normalized, pain spread, right? There are people who praise sinful things and they make it seem exciting and they love normalizing it. We see this really constantly, especially on social media, right? Where one of our sisters, you know, takes off her hijab. Finally, she finally removed her hijab, or somebody finally started to date, or finally started to explore their sexuality, or finally is starting to let loose. And they praise this as freedom, right? So they love to see these sins normalized and spread and spoken about and shared amongst people. And so we know the punishment that comes with this kind of spreading in this negative talk in the hereafter, where the Prophet ﷺ told us that when he was on his night journey between Isra and Mi'raj, he said, I passed by people who had metal hooks in their hands and they were clawing at their faces and necks. And I said to Jibreel, who are these people? And Jibreel alayhi salam responded, these are the ones who eat the flesh of people and attack their honor. It's so important for us not to be fooled that being the life of the party and having the juicy gossip to share and encouraging negativity and sin is worth more than our akhirah, is worth more than our hereafter. And this verse really puts that into perspective for us. And in this life too, what happens if you become that person where you might be the life of the party, right? Because you're constantly sharing things and talking about other people, and you constantly are the one with, you know, what do they say now? Drop the tea, right? Or pour the tea? I don't know. Younger people can tell me, but something about the tea. Spill the tea. Yes. Thank you. I should have researched that before I mentioned it, but, but yeah, spill the tea, right? Like, this is a thing that is encouraged. Like, okay, tell me all the gossip. Let me know everything that's happening. But it results in a lot of damage to our hereafter. And it also results in a lot of damage to our current life, because it results in loss of trust and the destruction of relationships. It results in obsessing about other people, their lives, their perceptions. It results in discomfort and worries about, well, what if they know that it came from me? What if they retaliate? It results in people not opening up to you or getting close to you, because if you're willing to talk about them to someone else, then what makes that the person that you're speaking to feel safe that you won't do the same to them, right? So it's so important to put that into perspective. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows this, like, severe admonishment with a reminder where He says, and if it had not been for the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy, you would have suffered. And because Allah is the most kind and the most merciful. So again, a reminder amidst the commands and the admonishments and all of this, the redirection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of His mercy, where he reminds us that He is the most kind and the most merciful. And so this is really an emphasis that even though the sin of slander and backbiting is such a huge thing, the fact that it is such a huge sin is actually a kindness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we didn't know this and we continue to engage in it, our relationships would be destroyed. We would be suspicious of those that we love. We would have no one that we could trust. We would lose the ability to trust and be vulnerable because we would be afraid of how it's going to be weaponized, how it's going to be used against us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, O believers, and when we hear that a verse starts with, you know, O believers, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, we perk up and we listen, right? He says, do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. So not just do not follow shaitan, but do not even follow his footsteps, taking any step in his direction. Whoever follows the footsteps of shaitan, then let them know that he surely bids them to immorality and wickedness. And had it not, again, look at this, it ends with again, this reminder, had it not been for Allah's grace and mercy upon you, none of you would have ever been purified, but Allah purifies whoever he wills. And Allah is all hearing and all knowing. Look at how many reminders there are of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, even though what so many in the community were engaging in was something so hated by him. And it just shows us that his mercy is not conditional and it is always accessible. And this time he ties it to purification of ourselves, showing us that the ability to see good in others and to avoid hurtful talk is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a reflection of our own purity. And so the action item we see here in not following the footsteps of shaitan is to remind ourselves that shaitan is the one who's whispering to us to engage in gossip. He's the one who loves this. He's the one who loves to divide people. And so figuring out, okay, how is shaitan trying to get to me here? When we know that he's involved, it helps us to fight against his whispers. And then also another action item we see in this verse is that the inclination toward gossip is really natural. But what does it say about the state of our hearts when we engage in it? How do you feel when you leave a gathering where you've been chit-chatting about everybody else? And reminding yourself before you get into a gathering of people, especially people that you tend to kind of fall into this with, remind yourself this is one of the tricks of shaitan, and then arm yourself. Arm yourself with reminders of, there are a few hadiths that I think are very helpful, where the Rasulullah ﷺ reminds us that among the perfection of one's Islam is to leave what does not concern him. Whatever you're saying about this person, that's not your business, right? It doesn't concern you. And so leave it, and that you're a step closer to perfecting your Islam. Before you get into a gathering, remind yourself that the Muslim is the one whose tongue and hand people are safe from. So intentionally deciding, I'm going to be safe. I'm going to be a safe person. I'm going to be a Muslim so people are safe from my tongue. And then the Rasulullah also reminds us that whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him speak good or remain silent. And that's going to be my commitment. I get into this gathering and I remember that I can only speak good or remain silent because I believe in Allah and I believe in the last day, right? So, and then at the end of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of who he is. He says, Wallahu sami'un alim, that he is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. That when we go into a gathering, reminding ourselves and being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our daily interactions, because he sees and he hears and he knows everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses the next verse, is verse 22. And this one was specifically addressed to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this was the father of Aisha radiallahu anha. And this verse was revealed because he swore to end his financial assistance to one of his cousins who was poor, because his cousin was taking part in the rumors against Aisha radiallahu anha. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent out this verse, and it says, do not let the people of virtue or affluence among you swear to suspend their donations to their relatives, the needy, and the immigrants in the cause of Allah. Let them pardon and forgive. Do you not love to be forgiven by Allah? And Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. Imagine how hard it is for a father to continue to financially support somebody who hurt his daughter, and to continue to offer goodness to somebody who has offered pain. That is really, really intense. But this verse is so empowering, because what does it tell us? It tells us, don't allow other people to change who you are. Don't allow the things that other people do to change what you do. It really shows us the power of ensuring that other people's actions don't determine who we are. That when you do good, your good deeds are for you. They're not for them. So even if somebody, you feel someone is undeserving of them, it doesn't matter. Because in the end, this is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not between you and this person. And so it's a really empowering reminder of that, mashallah. And then in the next few verses now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want you to listen to these verses from the lens of, if you are a person who has now been hurt by the words of others, if you are somebody who has been slandered, if somebody has gossiped or started rumors about you, listen to these verses and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers in a way that is a helpful reframe. And we're going to end with these last few verses, inshallah. So in verse 23, Allah says, surely those who accuse chaste, unsuspecting, believing women are cursed in this life and the hereafter, and they will suffer a tremendous punishment on the day that their tongues, hands, and feet will testify against them for what they used to do. The experience of having people speak ill of you and having no control over this, having no control over your pain or your reputation, is extremely scary, and it can feel very disempowering. And then if you try to defend yourself and it falls on deaf ears, it can really make you feel very hopeless. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides this reassurance and reminder that on the day of judgment, all of the lies that were said about you are going to be brought forth as lies, and that you will receive perfect justice. And in the end, they, the people who lied against you, the people who hurt you, they will defend you through their limbs and their tongues. The same limbs and tongues that cause so much pain to you here will be a source of solace there, because they won't be able to say anything but the truth. And so just like you felt that your life and your reputation and your pain were out of your control here, their bodies and their testimony will be outside of their control there. And it will lead to personal justice for you there. When I read this verse, I thought of how in psychology and in therapy, one of the ways to help people through trauma is to help them rewrite the narrative, because people experience trauma when they feel powerless and helpless. And so the antidote to that is to feel supported and powerful and empowered. And this verse does that, where you have a visualization of how to manage the impact of a traumatic experience in which people spoke so ill of you and damaged so much for you in your life, and how you went through so much pain. And it allows you to shift from feeling powerless to feeling empowered and rewriting your story in your mind. And so it can be very helpful. And the next verses as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that day, Allah will give them their just penalty in full, and they will come to know that Allah alone is the ultimate truth. And for us to know that the ultimate truth will always be victorious over the lies of people, and to never doubt that. And so remembering, when people speak ill of you, that your priority is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's on your side as you cope with this pain, and that His truth will come out, and that His justice will prevail, and it'll be perfect. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this story by proclaiming the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha, by saying, wicked women are for wicked men, and wicked men are for wicked women. The virtuous women are for virtuous men, and virtuous men are for virtuous women. The virtuous are innocent of what the wicked say, and they will have forgiveness and an honorable provision. So taking comfort in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all, and His knowing of your struggles and your innocence is the most important of all. And then the action item that I want to leave you all with, if you have been through this kind of pain, in order to help you to move forward, is to know that your innocence is written above the seventh heaven, the seven heavens, in a way that even if you can't see it, it will be proclaimed on the day when it matters most. So even Aisha's radiallahu anha's innocence was proclaimed for all of us to see. But yours, inshallah, is being saved for you on a day when it's going to matter most. And then to ask yourself, in terms of moving forward, sometimes we hold on to things because we feel like if we don't, it means that what they did was okay. But in reality, asking ourselves, what would I be able to focus on if I wasn't holding on to this pain? If I wasn't struggling with these negative thoughts about this person who said these horrible things, if I wasn't busy searching for the possible ways that other people might be intending to hurt me, is it worth it? Are these thoughts helping me to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are they doing to my energy level? Are they impacting me in my ability to worship, to do my salah, to recite Quran? It is exhausting to hold on to negative thoughts and feelings, especially when they're directed to people who are close to you, if those are the people who have hurt you. And so reminding ourselves, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, where let them pardon and forgive. Would you not love to be forgiven by Allah? And Allah is the most forgiving, the all-forgiving, the most merciful. Forgiveness does not mean that what this person did was okay. It means that this person has already caused me enough pain, and moving forward allows me to free up valuable space in my mind, my heart, and my life that could be used for something that's beneficial to me instead of something that's detrimental to me. And so I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with tongues that protect our brothers and sisters, minds that think the best of one another, and hearts that are free of negativity toward one another and are always turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ameen. Jazakum Allah khairan.
Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. SubhanAllah, I have heard the story of the ifk like a few dozen times in my lifetime. And I like reflected on lectures, this and that. And there's something you pulled out there, SubhanAllah, Sister Sarah, may Allah accept from you, that like my mind is just, I feel like I've just to sit like really heavy in my chair and to think, SubhanAllah. Because even if you've not been in this exact situation, some of these lessons, this shift in perspective to reframe this topic in a way that's really practical, that's focused on healthy change, it's relevant in so many different contexts. So jazakallah khair, Sister Sarah, that was amazingly okay. Beneficial. I know there's some questions. I saw a couple. We're a little bit past time, but I want to take one or two if I can find it. There's a lot of ameens going on in the chat, mashallah. I know somebody was asking along the lines of, is it best to like refute if there's gossip going on, is it best to refute those allegations, or do you just stay quiet and you leave it to Allah to sort out for you?
So one of the things that I tend to do if I notice the conversation heading, you know, in that direction, is I try to bring something positive about that person up, you know, where it's just like, you know, yeah, I know sometimes that's a struggle for them and everything, but you know, one of the things is that they always step up. If I call them and I need something, they will 100% drop what they're doing and they will be there and everything. So I will try to bring up a compliment about them, and it naturally shifts the conversation toward the good, because you know, people don't realize that they're doing this, right? And so sometimes a very subtle reminder of like, oh, let me change the mindset a little bit and the direction of the thoughts. And sometimes that's just really enough to shift, help people shift gears.
That's really crucial. And I think it's part of what this talk really reminded me of. I feel like this is a learned behavior, and it's very, very like common in our culture. It's even more so. I don't know if it's COVID. We had nothing to do but talk, or just to have these cancel culture blast videos on TikTok, and to something about, and this reality TV mindset of like finding entertainment and spreading false truths and making stories and getting, you know, SubhanAllah, it's one of the dangers. It's like, it's not this overt haram. You don't think about it all openly, but it becomes so common. And unfortunately it permeates our own circles as well. May Allah forgive us. There's a few questions that were sent privately. I'm trying to see if there's anything that's short enough. Someone's asking, what happens to the ones that don't backbite, but are the ones that sit and listen when backbiting is going on? Are they just as bad as their company?
You know, Allahu a'lam, right? But the way I like to think about it is, if somebody was talking about you in that situation and you knew that somebody you trusted just sat there and heard it, What would that be like? Wouldn't that still feel like a betrayal? It obviously isn't to the same level as being the person who's spreading it and saying it, but at the same time, it's still very, very hurtful. It's still very, very hurtful. And, you know, I think that, you know, one of the things, if you can't stop it, you know, then leave. then leave the gathering, because you know we know that the angels are not going to be in a gathering like that, and we don't want to be in a gathering that might be receiving punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know and somebody actually quotes a verse here that has the response, so let's make sure to look into that, inshallah. But it's really, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that when we see something wrong, as a believer, we have to try and change it with our hand. And if we can't, we change it with our tongue. And if we can't, then we hate it in our heart, but that's the weakest of iman. And so, you know, hating it in your heart is something, but if you truly hate something, are you still going to sit there and just be a part of it, right? So that's something to really gauge and to ask ourselves.
Beautifully said. Jazakumullah khair, Sister Sarah. Thank you so much for the time that you've given us in this community. And yes, someone said it in the chat as well, is mashallah, you can see the preparation behind this talk. And if you want to benefit more from Sister Sarah's content, I know she has a lot of contributions through Yaqeen Institute. Sarah, is there anything coming up that you can kind of leak or mention? I saw a mention of a book that's come out. Let us know what's going on in the world.
So alhamdulillah, the trauma series that I co-wrote for Yaqeen is going to be published as a physical copy in the summer, which I'm so excited about, mashallah, but it is accessible completely for free on Yaqeen's website under books. Inshallah, I'm starting to brainstorm another course for Al-Maghrib Institute, which I'm really, really excited about. I haven't gotten started on the actual recordings yet, or even the full-fledged preparation yet. But it's going to be underway, inshallah. And then with Yaqeen, another thing that I'm working on, co-writing a parenting series, a parenting resilient children series. And that's on its way. Alhamdulillah.
Allah, you're busy, busy, busy. MashaAllah, may Allah accept, may Allah put barakah in your time. For those who don't know, I know you're active, or you have been active on Instagram at Sarah Sultan Therapy.
Been a while.
Okay.
I'm trying, inshallah.
As much as you can, try to keep up with her, inshallah. There's amazing work. And of course, we have our class Inside Out, Outside In with Al-Maghrib Institute. It's not open right now, but she co-taught it, mashallah, with Sheikh Omar Sinaman and Sheikh Omar Hussein, who you guys will see, inshallah, tomorrow. But Jazakallah khair, Sister Sarah, that was an amazing talk. We cannot wait to continue benefiting from you, inshallah, for years to come. May Allah accept from you and your family. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. And may you have a blessed and accepted last 10 nights of Ramadan. For now, take care. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, everyone.
Awesome sauce. Jazakallah khair, everyone, for your comments as well and your contributions. I was having trouble reading and scrolling in the chat at the same time. You guys were just gem after gem after gem. I'm glad everyone felt really connected to this topic. There was a lot of personal, I know, difficulties and pain that some of you shared and messaged privately. May Allah make it easy for all of you and anyone who's experienced any kind of injustice. Now, I do want to transition, because this is going to be, I know, a great reflection session with Dr. Mohamed Hakim as well. And Jazakallah khair, Dr. Mohamed. You know, sometimes you do the Sheikh Zakir Naik thing where it's like, chapter of this every time we have a question, you have a response ready. You have something from the Quran prepared, mashallah, tabarakallah. How are you doing? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Allah, I'm doing great. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The Quran always keeps us. Wallahi, there is life in the Quran. There is a spirit in the Quran. And this community has, this Ramadan is different with this community, alhamdulillah.
It really is. It really, really is. And we're so grateful to have you as part of it. And with that being said, I know that we're tight on time, and I'm sure there's a lot to cover. So inshallah, I'm going to pass it over to you, bismillah, so we can kick off.
طيب يا جماعة. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Let me start with something that really mesmerizes me in this chapter and this discussion about the ahkam, the rulings of backbiting, slander, controlling your tongue, preserving the identity and the dignity of your sisters and brothers in the community. Why in the world was the surah named Surah An-Nur? The surah of the light, the chapter of the light, Surah An-Nur. Yes, the first answer is that always you will read in the scholarly opinions is that there is a beautiful ayah. There is a very spiritual, serene, magnificent ayah talking about ayatul nur, as somebody mentioned. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. And that ayah is basically, according to some scholars, the most commented ayah in the Quran. Like, there's so much commentary, there's so much tafsir, there's so much reflection, there's so much spirituality in this ayah. But this ayah does not come in a vacuum. Surah An-Nur is not only about the ayah of the Nur. there's a lot of introduction. There's hadithatul ifk. There's the introduction. The beginning of the surah is very firm. Suratun anzalnaha wa faradnaha wa anzalna fiha ayatin bayinat. This is a surah that we revealed and we have ordained and we have put in it clear signs. So the idea is that when we hear about all of these rulings about zina and fornication and that punishment, the severe punishment, notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrapped all of that to be in the surah of light, in the surah of the nur. Why do you guys think this is important? What is the reflection? Why is this profound? Subhanallah. Okay, I see there's some reflections. Sister Hafsa, can you help me? Mashallah, there's a lot of great content. Please, please make sure that you document those in the Telegram chat so that we have it. Does anyone want to tell us why would these commands, where is the light in these commands basically? To brighten our own night, our own nur. All of these sins prevent the nur of the heart. Beautiful, beautiful. There's the nur, which is the Quran. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُبِينًا. And there are these darknesses that could happen in our lives that could block that nur from coming to us. As Imam Malik told Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, إِنِّي أَرَى اللَّهَ قَدْ أَلْقَى عَلَيْكَ نُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you light, which is the light of the revelation, which is the light of knowledge. فَلَا تُطْفِئْهُ بِظُلْمَةِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ. So do not extinguish that light with the darkness of the sin. So subhanallah. So yes, the issue of sexual temptations and desires and the temptation to talk about the reputation of others is so juicy, subhanallah. It's so tempting. But all of this could result in a lot of darknesses, could really distract us from the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the surah came with this beautiful command. Now, let me... what's interesting when you hear about a society of light, Mujtama' al-Nur, it's a community. We all know that the community of the Sahaba is the best community. It's the best generation that was brought after to mankind. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, khayrul quruni qarni, thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum. That the best generation are my generation, and then those who follow, and then those who follow. But you see that when you hear about Mujtama' al-Nur, a community of light, you might assume that this community does not make sense. You might assume that this community is like the utopian city with no mistakes, that's protected, that does not fall into these things. But hey, we're reading about the flaws that took place in a community. Let me start with a very interesting ayah in this surah, in this passage. Ayah number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِنْكُمْ. They are the ones who brought up this slander, are a group of you. They are among you. Let us face it. Let us not sugarcoat it. There is somebody who led all of this. وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّ كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ. The one who started all of this, he specifically, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, will get a severe punishment. But let us face the fact that there are people, righteous people, among the Sahaba, among the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who ended up being carried by the slander, and they actually transmitted the slander, maybe sometimes out of good intentions. Maybe they think they are warning. Maybe they think they are advising. This ayah is telling us that if you want to live in a society of light, if you want to live in a community where the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevails, make sure that there are commands, there are restrictions. Those restrictions, they may seem to limit our freedom. However, these restrictions are for the better because they will allow the light of Allah to prevail, subhanallah. So now we are going to ask the following questions. How did Allah, what are the commands, what are the restrictions, what are the safety mechanisms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in Surah An-Nur in order to keep the light in the community and to extinguish the darkness of sins? What are the safety mechanisms? And if you think about it, subhanallah, the hadithatul ifk, the incident of al-ifk, of the slander of Sayyida Aisha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed rulings not only to declare the chastity of Sayyida Aisha. He declared a whole bunch of rules and regulations and commands and safety mechanisms to protect the community, so that the community is protected from everything that relates to reputation, slander, zina, fornication. It's a big surah, subhanAllah. It's a huge set of commands. Let us try to explore them one by one. Somebody raised their hand. Bismillah.
I saw the hand go up, but then it went down. And just in case it was an accident, you guys want to try raising again? There we go. I see Farzana.
Okay. Farzana, bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Jazakallah khair for giving me the chance again and again. I love to talk and love to, reflect. The thing is that whenever I read Surah An-Nur, one example comes into my mind that is of the sun. Whenever the sun is in front of you or the light is in front of you, the shadow is always at your back.
Yeah.
Or whenever you keep the sun at your back, the shadow is always ahead of you. Like the slanders, the world, the desires, the sins, and everything make you follow them. Or whenever the light is there, the noor is there, Allah is there, the commands are there, the do's are there, and you stay away from the don'ts, then subhanAllah, everything that's negative, everything that's haunting you, everything that's terrible for you, that's at your back. Like it's sort of, it tries to follow you, but it cannot capture you. It cannot be above you. So you just keep the light in front of you, Allah in front of you, the book in front of you, Sunnah in front of you, inshallah, everything is going to be perfect.
Jazakumullah khair. This is a very profound reflection. Now there's a lot to say about specific terms. So let's try to really find the gems from the ayat themselves. Remember, we are trying to put our reflection goggles on and try to search the passage with a specific question. And the question here is, hey, Allah is telling me this ayah that it may be hard on me to apply. There is light, there is nur, there's khair in it. So beautiful. Again, I'm not dismissing the beautiful reflection. Sister Raghad, bismillah.
So in order to avoid, if Surah An-Nur comes with a lot of rules and regulations for us to follow, lowering the gaze, knocking on doors, going at certain hours to visit people, go into the neighbors, and it's okay to visit brothers and aunts and uncles and different people, wearing hijab, like there's so many different rules that are given to us, and all these are to deter you from falling into something like this.
Now, beautiful. Do you want to comment on one of these rulings, Sister Raghad?
Which ayah?
Whatever ayah that mentioned. So you mentioned, for example, okay. Beautiful. Yeah, you can start with there. Yeah.
So to lower the gaze and don't reveal your beauty except that which is known to them.
SubhanAllah, jazakumullah khair. The famous ayah about hijab. So there are two ayat that discuss modesty for men and women in the Quran. For women, it's in Surah An-Nur, as in Surah Al-Ahzab. And this is the ayah here. It's mentioned in the context of the whole passage. Again, we have to understand. This ayah by itself is a beautiful ayah. It's a very detailed ayah about the dress code for women and who can see their beauty or not see their beauty. But also, this ayah is a part of a complete package for the society that will protect it, subhanAllah. And one of my favorite reflections on this ayah is the ayah before. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believing women, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ, let them cover their hairs with their headscarves. However, again, this ayah does not exist in a vacuum. The Quran is a set of complete instructions. Look at the ayah before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to men before he talked to women. Subhanallah. Allah told believing men, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze and lower and guard their chastity. This is purer for them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything that they are doing and everything that is in their heart. So the command for sisters to have a modest dress code and lifestyle started with a command to brothers to make sure that they are lowering their gaze. And notice how Allah is telling us also, يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. So lower, it's not captured in the translation. Let them lower a part of their gaze, which is the lustful part. I know that sometimes we have these discussions when it comes to engaging in a workplace or talking to the opposite gender. And some of us have this awkward moment where we don't know how to carry ourselves. Actually, a brother, a new Muslim brother, a revert, was in the masjid last week. And he saw a sister and he said, Salaamu Alaikum. And he was very casual. He didn't know any better. And he was faced by a lot of rejection almost from the other sister and the other community members. They thought he's rude just because he said salam to the sister. So sometimes this boundary line between what is modest and what is not clear, because it was not crystal clear in the Sharia. It depends a lot on the culture. Some cultures are more open than others, subhanAllah. So Allah in the Quran clearly is saying, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. So let them lower a part of their gaze. Let them make it clear to the sisters that when I'm engaging in a conversation with the opposite gender, I am not here for any other lowly, intention. يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Once the community knows that we are not, subhanAllah, we are not trying to have this temptations and this looks that could become lustful, it becomes easier for the sisters to understand, hey, you know what? It's easier because everyone is lowering their gaze. Now hijab is easy. So brothers, when we talk about hijab on the sister's side, let's make sure that we help them by lowering our gaze. Again, a lot of safety mechanisms in this surah. This surah is the surah of the light for our community to protect us and guard our chastity, subhanAllah. Any other lights, any other commands? Solange, you want to share some reflections from other parts of the ayat?
Yes, from the first ayah, from ayah 11, when Allah says, لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ. It's easy to get overwhelmed when things are not going well, especially like this dramatically. And we need to like look beyond the difficulty to see that in this thing also is khair, because Allah has put khair in everything. He's not created anything purely evil.
Now, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. One of my teachers actually comments on this very ayah that the sister shared. لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That the idea of slander on Sayyidah Aisha was severe on even the believers themselves. Not only Sayyidah Aisha and her family, the whole community. They were like, people were surprised that this nafs, this human soul, without any restraints, without any commands, without any rules and regulations, we can go, we can be very cruel, we can be very violent with each other. We can reach, subhanAllah, a lot of extreme cases. Wal'iyadu billah. These ayat, subhanAllah, remind me about a story that happened with a brother in one of the communities in the United States. That brother, subhanAllah, he was married and he made some wrong choices that led him to be in the presence with another woman in public. And subhanAllah, I'm not defending him. That was a wrong choice. And he admitted to me that he did a mistake. He did not manage that properly. The problem is some other brothers saw him and they took pictures and they, subhanAllah, circulated the pictures everywhere. Everywhere. And this ended up not only destroying his marriage, but his relationship. He acknowledged that he was mistaken. He messed up. He did not manage this very well. But what is painful for him, as he was looking back, when he told me that other brothers, when they saw him, when he was exposed, they told him they were kind of happy because that brother was involved in the community. He was trying to do youth groups and activities and what have you. And they thought that those who exposed him told him that we thought that you are better than us, but now it looks like you are like any all of us. So subhanAllah, this idea that some people may have that they have this thirst to prove that others are sinful so that they are trying to sedate whatever conscious or the remaining part of the conscious they have. SubhanAllah, it is sad. It is sad when people have this assumption. And that's why these ayat, again, are safety mechanism. لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. That's Sister Sara, mashallah alayha. She really explained this strongly, that we should have good assumptions. The first reaction when we hear something bad about a brother or a sister is to accuse the one who's narrating the news, not the other person. SubhanAllah, this is a reflection of who we are, not who the other people are. Actually, scholars mentioned this beautiful comment. They say, المؤمن يطلب المعاذير لسلامة باطنه, that the believer searches for the excuses of others because of the purity of their heart. والمنافق يطلب العيوب لخبث باطنه, and the hypocrite searches for others' mistakes due to the wickedness of their heart. So again, the way we behave, the way we react, wallahi, every time we hear news, every time we hear about someone's reputation, just I want us to understand, we are being checked. Our inner side, our true nature is being under test. SubhanAllah. طيب, Maryam, again, we are trying to search for the sources of light in the surah. These sources of light may be uncomfortable. These sources of light in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ. We might assume this is strict on us, this is hard on us. But again, these sources of light are nothing but khair and nur for us. Maryam, bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
What stuck out to me was the first and second ayah, because it reminded me of like science. For example, bacteria, they can't grow in certain environments. So the first surah tells you that these rulings are obligatory, which means that it won't allow you to grow in this environment, like the Muslim community. And the second one says, give each one of them 100 lashes. So yes, people will not do this thing if they know that this is, for example, the consequence. It just doesn't build, the community will not be built in a negative manner. And this brings nur to people's hearts and to the community as a whole.
Naam, subhanAllah. Jazakumullah khair, sister. So the idea here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the punishment for zina very severe. الزانيه والزاني فجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلده. It's a very severe punishment. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the conditions to apply the punishment also very hard to find. لولا جاءوا عليه باربعه شهداء. Look at this ayah, ayah number 4. والذين يرمون المحصنات, those who accuse chaste women of adultery, ثم لم ياتوا باربعه شهداء, and they failed to produce 4 witnesses. According to the scholars, these 4 witnesses have to see, and I'm going to be a little bit explicit here, they have to see the actual sin, the actual activity of fornication, which is almost impossible, ya jama'ah, to happen unless this sin is meant to be in public, right? And throughout our Muslim history, this condition has never been applied, according to my knowledge, according to my own research. This condition of somebody bringing those who committed adultery or fornication, who brought them to court, nobody was able to bring 4 witnesses who saw the actual thing. Most of the cases that were brought to court were people who confessed their sins and they came to purify themselves. This is a condition that's very hard to apply, and this condition makes it harder on people who want to accuse others of adultery and fornication. SubhanAllah. And notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained the punishment for the zina, 100 jalda, 100 lashes, but speaking about someone with zina is 80 lashes. ثمانين جلدة. So it's like 80% of the actual punishment. Again, honoring and really protecting the chastity of all of our brothers and sisters, especially women, especially our sisters, which takes me to another reflection I really wanted. I can't wait. Like it's one of those amazing things in the ayah. So you guys ready? Bismillah. Show me the thumbs up if you're ready. لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers, why don't you think, assume good about themselves? And Sister Sara shared a lot of reflections about this. However, Allah could have said, ظن المؤمنون. Allah could have said, لولا سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون بأنفسهم خيرا. The believers should assume good about themselves. And this will suffice, right? Allah could have said the believers in general, and the believers includes men and women. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the believing men and the believing women should assume good about themselves, because the accusation of the slander of alifik took place about a man and a woman. Subhanallah. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very brief, and this is balagha. The balagha is when you convey the term with very brief, simple language. Right? But sometimes Allah will expand, Allah will add words that could actually may seem that it is redundant. And a'udhu billah, there's no redundancy in the Quran. It is the surah actually is telling us about a event that took place, a conversation that took place in the house of one of the Sahaba, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari and Ummu Ayyub, may Allah be pleased with them. Both of them, when they heard the news of Aisha, the slander of Aisha radiallahu anha, Abu Ayyub asked Ummu Ayyub, Ya Ummu Ayyub, do you hear what people are saying about Aisha radiallahu anha? And she said, yes, this is terrible, terrible news. And then he asked her, if you were in Aisha's shoes, would you do what she did? And she said, wallahi, I would never do that if I was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Ayyub told Ummu Ayyub, فَعَائِشَ خَيْرٌ مِنْكِ. Aisha is better than you, and she will not definitely do that. And then she told, Ummu Ayyub asked her husband, if you were in the place of Safwan, would you ever dare to approach the mother of the believers, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ? And he said, wallahi, I will never do this. And she told him, فَصَفْوَانْ خَيْرٌ مِنْكَ. Look at how subhanAllah, this is a very eloquent way of responding. That, okay, I know that brother Muhammad, I know sister Aisha, I know sister Sarah, she is better than me. Instead of waiting for others to sin, so that subhanAllah we start doing and slandering them. طيب, someone there raise their hand. Bismillah. Solange?
Yes, I just wanted, when you said earlier about how without these rules we could be so cruel to one another. It just reminded me, I want to mention this because other people might not, most other people don't have this experience, but before I was Muslim, I was an atheist, and it was hugely burdensome to come up with my own fair code of living. And when I found the Quran, I found a manual for living, which is its perfect justice. And it was such a relief. It's such a blessing upon us that we have full guidance in this Quran from the creator of the human being, the one who has perfect knowledge, wisdom, and justice. And the Quran and all its rules, there's no doubt at all that this is Fadlullah, and we need to never forget that.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Jazakumullah khair. This is a very profound reflection. Amen. If you can, please do us a favor and write some reflections about your experience with these commands that could be harsh on someone, but you are saying this commands are really the true light for me. If you can raise some reflections, especially on Quran Reflect, I'm sure many people will find this useful, especially those who are born into Islam. Wa jazakumullah khair. Okay, طيب. SubhanAllah, I want to ask another question. This is, okay. So again, we mentioned the fawasil al-ayat, the ending of the ayat, and one of the ways to identify, you know, the tadabbur is to look at the fawasil al-ayat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the word azim 4 times in this passage. What are those 4 times? Azim, azim. Again, repetition, a lot of repetition. Azim, 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 azim. What are those 4 times? Can someone tell us? You know, tremendous, magnificent. Solange, you wanna share? So we have ayah 11, okay? Somebody is writing in the comments. We have ayah 11. وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. So the first time Allah mentions azim, that the one who started all of this, the mastermind, Abdullah, will have a severe punishment, which means that, hey, this is a big, yes, some people are forgiven, but someone will be held accountable. And whoever is held accountable, we're talking about a severe punishment. The next one is also verse 14. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ لَمَسَّكُمْ فِي مَا أَفَضْتُمْ فِيهِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah protected you with these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected you from falling into sin. Otherwise, you would have went to a azab azim, to a severe punishment. And guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that one of his name is Al-Azim. فَسَبِّحْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ, the magnificent. So our scholars tell us that Allah Al-Azim, when he tells us about something that's azim, that's magnificent, then it is definitely something magnificent, you know? And they give an example. Imagine a little child who might tell you that I have a big amount of money. I have a huge amount. I collected a lot of idiyas in my Eid. So you look at that child and he'll tell you, okay, what is that big amount of money? It could be $10, $20, maximum $30. Because for that child, the big amount of money is relative. It's relative based on his or her own life and circumstances. However, if a rich person, if a multimillionaire is going to tell you, I'm going to write you a big check. The same word, big check, means different things based on who this expression is coming from. So if a rich person versus a little child, each one is telling us the same word, but it means different thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-azim, Allah the magnificent. When he tells us there is azabun azim, we better take it seriously. لَمَسَّكُمْ فِيمَا أَفَطْتُمْ فِيهِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And here's the ayah 15, that tells us, somebody also mentioned this. إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. When you take the news directly to your tongues and you just iterate with your words, with your mouths, that which you don't have any knowledge in. And Allah says, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيْنًا, and you take it lightly. This is an ayah, subhanAllah, that should make us really be concerned and scared about any sin, any mistake that we may belittle, that we may not, subhanAllah, assume to be magnificent. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. And it is very serious. Allah Al-Azim is telling us, وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. I remember one of my early series on YouTube, it was, don't belittle the little. Don't belittle the little. And this was one of the ayat that really is profound, that sometimes our scholars tell us, لا تنظر إلى صغر المعصية أو عظمها بل انظر إلى عظم من عصيت. Do not look at a sin, whether the sin is a major sin or a minor sin. Look at the magnificent of the one you disobeyed, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وهو عند الله عظيم. Again, make sure that, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 16, ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم. The glory to you, Allah. This is a serious and heinous slander. Again, the more we understand that our words could send us into the Jannah, into the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told in Surah Al-Kahf, كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Sometimes one word that may come out of someone's mouth might destroy them into the fire. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيَقُولُ الْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالَ. A man might say a word out of Allah's anger and wrath without, again, without understanding, without appreciating the massive nature of that word. تَهْوِ بِهِمْ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا. One word could cause someone to fall 70 years into the fire. Again, let us be careful about what we say, what we hear, and whatever language we hear, subhanAllah. طيب, okay, let's look at the other safety mechanisms. Again, the surah is loaded with safety mechanisms. I know Sister Raghad mentioned some of them, but I really want us to look back on Surah An-Nur, the chapter of the light, and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the community from crossing the boundaries of Allah. Shirani, bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakallah, Shaykh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So I just wanted to like share an ayah from this chapter, Surah Nur, where Allah says, you know, Allah will excuse my ummah for, I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about that, you know, that Allah will excuse my ummah for anything that occurs to their minds so long as they do not speak about it or act upon it. So what I wanted to actually share, a lot of time, you know, we have like a kind of thought that is kind of not very good, like unsuitable thoughts about someone. right? Insinuated into our mind and imagination by obviously shaitan, right? And what we should do as a reminder here is that we should not speak about that, because we will not be accountable for what comes to our mind. I mean, we should take time to reflect upon, to ask this question, is this like just an imagination? Is this like an assumption? Or did I kind of go and check with him, that person, you know, because this is like so common, you know, in on, not only about related to this particular issue like slandering, but like on a daily basis, we do that. We kind of make assumption about something and we kind of try to impose on people or our children, you know, saying, oh, you did that because you had, well, you wanted to do that. Or you, I mean, not asking, but actually kind of, you know, imposing a statement about him and not listening to him clearly, you know, and that way, it is just like so infuriating for that child or for that person. I mean, for, this is like psychologically so I would say, you know, distracting. So we have to be careful about that. Like the previous ayah, you know, do not follow what you do not actually know, right? So I think we need to kind of start making this comment, like asking question before we actually, you know, give a statement about someone or something. We need to go and check with that person and not respond to everything that comes to our mind or imagination by shaitan. Yeah. May Allah preserve us.
Ameen, ya Allah. And subhanAllah, first of all, really, the ayah that resonates is that this ayah, كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what a terrible word that came out of their mouth, meaning that the problem is not that the thought crossed their mind. The problem is that this word came out of their mouth, subhanAllah. However, how can we protect ourselves from even going into the word being uttered is to protect the thought. And this is where the ayah here is important. ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. The first safety mechanism is to kill the thought, is to try to bury the thought, the illusion about someone, try to bury it from the get-go, subhanAllah. Okay, beautiful. What are other safety mechanisms? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect a community from falling into zina? Any single brothers or sisters out there? Come on, this ayah is one of the beautiful ayat that actually give guidance about, you know, protecting the chastity of our young ones, brothers and sisters, lowering their gaze. Yes, of course, there's actually another one. So again, Islam is giving a complete way of life. It's a complete system. Yes, people fall into zina because when the haram is available and when there's an isha'a of the fahisha, but also there's also another way to protect from falling into the haram, which is to facilitate marriage, subhanAllah. And again, the ayah about facilitating marriage is in Surah An-Nur as well. Allah says, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ. Marry all of those who are single, whether they are free, whether they are enslaved, you know, marry them, allow them to marry, facilitate marriage. And you might say, but they don't have the finances. I'm assuming that they have something, you know, they have something to start their life together, inshallah. Allah is saying, and wallahi, every single brother, every single family that started, they are living example of this ayah. إِيَّكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If they were poor, if they were starting in a financial difficulty, يُغْنِهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Because again, so Allah is telling us one of the ways to have a society of light is to really facilitate marriage, is to make the muhur, the dowry, to make it accessible, is to enable institutions and enable ways for young men and young women to get to know one another in a very respectful way, and to allow, subhanAllah, and to encourage them, because if the halal is easy, is hard, and the haram is easy, then what do we expect? SubhanAllah. طيب. Okay. I think somebody mentioned also 27. Ayah 27. Yes, this is one of the ayat. SubhanAllah. The ayat that talk about isti'zan and taking permission, it's SubhanAllah. Let me just find the ayat. SubhanAllah, I can't find it. But there's an ayat that talk about basically how actually, maybe in the end of the surah, talks about لِيَسْتَأْذِنْكُمُ الَّذِينَ مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُ الْحُلُمَ ثَلَاثَةً Ah, there you go. Ayah 58. SubhanAllah, I blanked here. So this ayah, again, one of the safety mechanisms that will protect from falling, from exposing nakedness, especially it comes, you know, remember back in the days, they would have small houses and there might be no locks for the bedroom. And this ayah, again, the Quran is even, is controlling, Islam is instructing us how to control the traffic and movement inside our own families. Said, you know, if we have kids who are maybe الَّذِينَ مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُ الْحُلُمَ مِنْكُمْ who are close to the age of puberty, who can identify, they are at the age of tamyiz, they can identify when, you know, a male from a female, and they can identify, they can sense when there's some, you know, intimate relationships happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling clear ayah in the Quran, let them take permission before they enter the bedroom of their parents. Because again, so that they don't see inappropriate situations between the father and the mother. Again, this is one of the ayat in the Quran to protect our children from being exposed to something that they are not ready to be exposed to. SubhanAllah. A lot of beautiful disruptions in the surah. If anyone has any final thoughts about Surah An-Nur, the light of the community, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enabling the light through these restrictions, feel free to share, inshallah. Shirani, go ahead, really quick, bismillah. I'm sorry, I didn't notice the time.
Jazakallah khair again. So I just wanted to like quickly share about the ayah where Allah talked about, you know, his fazl, you know, I don't remember the exact ayah because, I mean, you know, who was the ayah? None of you would have been like, you know, it's the fazl of Allah, you know. Yes. Can you please show me the ayah, please?
Yeah, I'm going there, yeah. مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا Yeah,
thinking about is like, you know, this is like a very powerful reminder for each one of us, like those who are safe from any kind of sins, you know, be it, you know, be it like any kind of sins like backbiting or, you know, like kufr and shirk and all kinds of shirk, be it like, you know, major or minor. We have to be very mindful. It's not because we are, you know, kind of doing a very good job. It's only because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has him in fazli rabbi. And that is why we should not actually, you know, look down on people who are not doing well. And we should not be thinking about like, oh my God, they have no Islam in their life. And they did this, you know, they committed this. They are always backbiting. They're always gossiping and kind of, you know, thinking low of them. And in fact, we have to be thankful to Allah that we are not among those people, right? Nah. And there's something interesting that after this ayah, Allah immediately said, you know, wala khutbah, I mean, do not follow the footsteps of shaitan, meaning a lot of shaitan tells us that, okay, that's a good job, you know, pat on your back, you did a great job, you just attended a Quran reflection program, and not everybody in, you know, at your home is doing that, so probably there's something, you know, like, you know, you're some special, but that's actually not true. This is the way of shaitan approaching from, you know, probably, what do we call that? You know, the front side, you know, like shaitan said that he will try to misguide in all different ways coming from, you know, back and forth. And so this is one way of shaitan kind of, you know, making us believe that there's something so special about it, which is absolutely not true.
SubhanAllah, you reminded me, brother, SubhanAllah. So let me tell you a very common scenario we have in our community. Sometimes you see a young man, young woman, they start interacting with each other more than what they need to. And you try to give them advice, brother and sister, just be careful because we know that, SubhanAllah, temptations are high and there's no way you will get married anytime soon, blah, blah, blah. So we try to give them advice. And then that normal reaction is, brother Muhammad, so you don't trust us? And that's always, you know, parents or community leaders, we are being accused that we don't trust others. You know, that we're assuming ill intentions of others. And I'm giving nasiha, I did not accuse them. I'm being asked, so you don't trust us? So I tell brother such and such and sister such and such, I trust you, but I don't trust the shaitan. I trust you, but I cannot guarantee that the shaitan is there. So that's one thing, and in line with what you said. Jazakallah khair. طيب, Farzana, Bismillah, can we make it quick because we're over time? I know it's been an engaging session, but Sister Hafsa, may Allah reward her, she's leading all of these sessions every single day, and we need to really make sure that we respect everyone's time. But yeah, Bismillah. Farzana, Bismillah.
Yes, I would like to reflect on the verse. I suppose it's 22. A portion of it when Allah says, "Wal yafu wal yasfu Allah tuhibuna ayyaghfirullahu lakum wallahu ghafurur rahim." You know, what Allah loves the most is being merciful and being forgiving. No. Whatever happened in the life of Abu Bakr, he was supporting someone and he was the one who really spread that thing. Things happen again. This was like Allah Ta'ala is showing us that that was not an ideal society, that they were like very pious and not a single wrong thing will happen to them. And this is not a guarantee that a single wrong thing cannot happen to you.
No.
Things will come again in your life and things will be harsh for you. But what is going to be your stance? Forgive it. Forgive and forget. Then only you can reach to the level that Allah will turn in mercy upon you. And you know, if we just focus on our record, is it really worth forwarding in front of Allah? Are we really in the position to stand in front of Him? If not, then we shall be merciful upon those who did wrong to us. Certainly Allah will certainly raise our levels on the day of judgment, and it will certainly help us in this world as well. I've seen a lot of things happening to me just some days back in this Ramadan when I wanted to help some orphan kids, and my intention was taken wrong. And you know, a sort of a letter was circulating in my colleagues and in my work area and in my students and everywhere. And I was thinking, how am I going to explain? Well, one thing that I just, I took an oath. I won't be going there and won't be helping them. But when this thing came into my mind, I said, no. The biggest kafara for me, the biggest expiation for me is to help those orphans, to help that organization and forgive them. And you know, it gave me peace, alhamdulillah. I know I will be wrong in many places and I want Allah to forgive me. So this is the biggest lesson that I took for myself from Surah Nur. Just forgive and forget.
Allah Mustaan. Jazakumullah khair. Sister Maryam, any final thoughts? Jazakumullah khair, sister, for sharing these beautiful words. Sister Maryam, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I was just thinking, Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum Assalam wa rahmatullah.
I was just thinking about how in the previous verse 21, it says, don't follow the footsteps of Satan. And I was thinking how when you think the worst of others, you tend to think that you're better, or you tend to forget your own self. So, you know, that's arrogance, and Satan's is one of the attributes is his arrogance. And so that's, I mean, that connection a little bit.
SubhanAllah, you see how one sin that from others on one perceived sin could result in a lot of domino effect. A lot of people become self-righteous and stuff. Beautiful. Jazakumullah khair. Sister Hafsa, mashallah, that was a great session as usual. So but back to you, inshallah. Allah barik fikum, yirzikum al-khair.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. SubhanAllah, that was indescribable. I feel like we're getting really good at this. Alhamdulillah. As we get into the last 10 nights, I hope that is, inshallah, this is impacting your own tadabbur. And when you're hearing the recitation in Tarawih, and when you're kind of getting closer and closer to the Quran and more confident in it, I pray that this has been beneficial for you all. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. You are really, mashallah, like skilled at leading us into the right direction and then letting us fly with it. So may Allah accept from you. No major announcements, inshallah. We're just going to close off, inshallah, for today's session. There's announcements coming in the next few days. I'm just waiting for the team to get everything ready before I can start announcing things. So just sit tight, inshallah. There's an exciting weekend coming up, something I can't tell you about right now, inshallah, but that we'll be announcing soon. And of course, a few little things that will be opening up before we close off the blessed month of Ramadan. We are hitting day number 19 tomorrow. So the countdown is right there, subhanAllah. I did want to take a second to mention that what Sister Sarah Sultan, mashallah, like her contribution, her style of teaching is something else because of, mashallah, her professional background. And we made sure for that reason to bring her and our guest tomorrow, Dr. Omar Hussein, into our course that I mentioned before, Inside Out, Outside In, on mental health in Islam. And we cover some very difficult taboo topics that are not covered thoroughly and done justice to in our community until more recently, but never in this kind of context. So that course is not open for registration right now, but do look out for their work, inshallah, and do support, because we were able to make that course pay what you can. And over 5,000 people benefited from it because of people's generous donations to Al-Maghrib. We're able to do things like that to make really beneficial, crucial content for the community open and free, or to, you know, at a low, very low price, just so that people can access it, because there should be no barrier to it. So jazakallah khair to everyone who donated at that time to make that experience possible. And once again, I encourage you guys to continue donating and supporting Al-Maghrib at almaghrib.org/donate, so that we can make future projects like that happen. And inshallah khair, we're excited to jump in tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be day number 19, as I mentioned. We're going to have Sheikh Omar Hussein, who is a co-teacher for that course as well, inshallah, with us. And I can't wait to jump in with you guys. Same time, same place. Any links that were relevant for today's session, we're going to try to drop on Telegram. If there's anything I missed, please drop it there. And of course, Quran Reflect, please copy everything that you were able to share here, there as well, so that we can continue to benefit for years to come. For now, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.